Good morning. Welcome to our business meeting, a continuation from yesterday. This is our business meeting for October 26, 2012. The meeting's now in session. Again, I always remind council members that our meetings are audio cast live with real-time captioning on the California Courts website. For the benefit of the online audience, please speak into your microphones and address each other by name so that listeners and the real-time captioning readers can follow our discussion. And as you know, portions of these meetings are also routinely videotaped or later broadcast on our California Courts website. We start this morning with our consent agenda. And having received no request from council members to move any of the items on consent to the discussion, we approve these proposals and recommendations. By way of information, the Executive and Planning Committee places items on the consent agenda in consideration of council's meeting time. Placement on the consent agenda in no way reflects on the significance of a proposal. Prior to the meeting, any council member may request that an item be moved from consent to the discussion agenda. This takes us now to our discussion agenda. I would note that we have speakers, but the speakers have indicated they're here for specific items. So we will hear from the speakers prior to calling the item. For item F, the first item, Judicial Branch Education, final report on the 2010-2012 CEJR Governing Committee Education Plan. We have no speakers. We invite the Honorable Robert L. Dondero, Vice Chair of CEJR Governing Committee, and Dr. Diane Cowdery, the Director, Office of Education, CEJR.
First of all, I want to thank the council for permitting Diane Cowdery and myself to appear before you to discuss the Governing Committee's final report on the first branch-wide education plan covering years July 1, 2010 through June 30, 2012. Justice Roby, who is the chair, wanted to appear today, but he had a personal commitment which prevented him from doing so. Now, the final report submitted discloses this education plan adopted by the Governing Committee of CEJR was very successful. It allowed the committee to reach its educational goals for the audience we serve in the branch. It is important because it was the first attempt we had to create a comprehensive education plan for the entire judicial branch, and I believe it was very successful. The creation of this plan and its execution was motivated by a desire to develop an overall redesign of how education is delivered within the branch in light of the fiscal issues presented to the branch. The educational model developed by the Governing Committee aims to increase accountability and transparency of CEJR to the Governing Committee itself, which has been given education responsibility by the Council for the branch. The benefits of the educational plan you have are several. Any interested party is able to see what education we are providing for what audience and how the education plan is being delivered. Any change that takes place is triggered by factors such as budget matters. They can be addressed by the particular curriculum committees set up with the approval of the Governing Committee. Under our restructured curriculum committees, which have been in place for a period of time, the Governing Committee appoints the members of all major educational areas, such as criminal, family, juvenile, leadership, and the like. The eight committees created have core responsibility for drafting recommendations for the education plan in their particular substantive area, and then submitting those particular recommendations to the Governing Committee, which has the duty to consider the recommendations and formulate the particular education plan itself. Naturally, before the governing committee addresses the recommendations of several curriculum committees, the CGER personnel staff will consider the recommendations of the individual committees in light of the resource allocation, both human and financial. Now, the focus on current human and financial resources at CGER, which we're all aware of, and this is reflected by the current education plan for 2012-2014, which demonstrates a significant increase in webinar educational events, while this technology was rarely used during the first plan of 2010-2012. It is the view of our governing committee at the present time that this type of delivery system, webinars, and like technology will remain a popular and a very useful method for our charge to deliver education to the branch itself. Now, the Judicial Council also, in 2011, directed CGER and the Governing Committee to consider greater flexibility in satisfying the hour requirements ordered by the rules of court in existence for members of the judiciary and their respective staffs. Therefore, under the recently revised rules of the Council, appellate justices can earn up to one-half of their education hours via distance education, with the remaining 15 hours over a three-year period in live education. Also, importantly, the court staff members need only have 4 hours of live education over a two-year period. The rest can be satisfied by other processes. Additionally, the notion of live education, which was so important in the past, has been relaxed to encompass not only traditional face-to-face instruction, but also video conferencing and webinars. It is the belief of the governing committee and also the CGER staff that these distance technologies have features like the traditional face-to-face education teaching programs. I also want to mention that the sources of judicial education currently recognized have been expanded for the members of the judiciary and staff members to include not only classroom teaching, but also bar education programs and like programs. The goal of these changes and assessments is to make it easier for judicial officers and their staff to comply with the requirements during a period of time when, obviously, time away from the courtroom is a key concern of our branch. With our educational plan in place, it's the view of the governing committee and also of CGER that we can determine the costs of each type of delivery method to the actual programs. We can answer the questions where we are spending money and which audience and by what method are we spending that fund. A review of the plan itself, which is attached to your materials, indicates that most of the programs encompassing the features of the plan were successfully launched. The number of programs either delayed or canceled was quite small, roughly 10%. The report indicates that many of the programs, how they were presented and how they were eventually satisfied. For example, at page 4 of the report, new judge orientation. You'll see that 7 programs of that new judge orientation category, item number 9, were not held during the years 2011 to 2012 because of low enrollment. You'll also see that, for example, at page 7 in reviewing the report, item number 19E, that a particular class was canceled due to low enrollment, but that the CGER staff then directed the participants who wished to engage in the educational program particularly, could involve themselves in another related program which allowed the participants to obtain comparable education at a different venue. These types of indications are throughout the report, the final report that you have. That completes my remarks to the committee.
Thank you, Darrell.
Are there any questions?
I have one.
Yes, Judge O'Malley.
I just wanted to comment as a instructor with CJR since the year 2000, I believe, and as a member of the Criminal Curriculum Committee, having been changed from the prior committee, I've personally witnessed the transformation that Dr. Cowdery and the staff at CJR have gone through in changing the way that education has been brought to not only judges, but to staff of courts, staff of the AOC, et cetera. And this is a organization, part of our organization, that consistently reassesses itself to see how better can we do this. And clearly facing the obstacles of the budget, plus just other obstacles that it has faced over the 10 years that I've been witnessing and participating in it, I just commend you for, you know, innovative, thinking outside the box, better ways to do this, and we do provide the best education, you know, I believe in the country, probably the world, with regard to legal education. There's just no question about it. And so I commend you, and I commend the governing committee for, you know, asking. I was also on the work group with regard to reassessing, are we really providing the education in a best way accessible and at the most economically way that we can deliver it? And we were amazed at the changes that CJR has made throughout the course of at least the 10 years that I've been there to make those sort of changes and commitments. And I know that this is part of the AOC that is really committed to making those changes and providing great education for everyone. And so thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
that. Thank you, Judge O'Malley.
Thanks, Judge O'Malley. Can I just make a comment and say that I appreciate your remarks so much, and we really couldn't do what we do without the amazing faculty that we have. And the faculty who we, you know, over a course of a year, we may have 700 different folks within the branch, court staff, court leaders, and judges and justices teaching for CJR, and we wouldn't be able to do anything without that. So I appreciate your time as a faculty member as well as being on the curriculum committee and on a work group.
I also want to say, as a student and I think patron of CJR and being chief, I hear so many compliments about CJR throughout the state and nationally. And I know that many of our programs are emulated, and our expertise or your expertise is sought nationally. I'm also aware that through the years of your contact with the appellate courts, of the effort to be flexible and to try to provide this type of education, meeting with us personally and trying to find and deliver this education to us. And I can only commend how the caliber has been excellent, and nothing about what's happened in the past few years really has affected the quality at all of the education. And I'm grateful for all of the efforts you have made, Judge Dondero, you have made, and the staff has made to keep this one of our best programs in the branch.
Well, that's why we're here, and that's why we want to continue the dialogue. And if there's any matters we need to address from the council, that we are willing to listen and go further in assessing our programs.
Thank you. And I also want to say one last thing about appellate education. Last year with the budget and the surprise in terms of the last minute, we really had to rewheel and find a way to deal with the mandatory appellate education. And I thank you for your efforts in moving things around and making it possible that we could provide education, the mandatory education, to appellate staff and to the appellate attorneys. Thank you.
I think that's one of the benefits of having this plan and this structure, is that when we had to cancel conferences for the staff and for the justices, we were able to take pieces of it and deliver it in a different way. And you can see that on the plan. This sort of shows the accountability of what was delivered and what was not, and if it wasn't, what happened. And some of it was delivered in a different way, in another venue, sometimes less expensively, often less expensively, regionally or through distance education. So it really helps us to be more flexible when those last-minute changes happen, which are becoming more commonplace, mm-hmm. So it's been a great tool for us.
Appreciate all your work.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, good.
Thank you
very much.
Before we move to our next item and hear public comment, I'd like to recognize that there are There's a group, I understand, of about 20 visitors who are present, and they are mentor and mentee participants in a pilot mentoring program for court staff. This is a project of the Access and Fairness Advisory Committee, assisted by the AOC Human Resources Office and the Office of Education, of course, CEJR, from whom you've just heard. Can you raise your hands, those of you who are here for that mentor-mentee project?
Goodness.
Well, thank you. I want to point out that the goal of this pilot program is to facilitate communication of judicial branch goals through one-on-one mentoring, supporting professional development, and enhancing leadership competencies of court staff. I understand and applaud that this program furthers Goal 5 of the branch's strategic plan. That is, high-quality education and professional development will be provided to enhance the ability of all individuals serving in the branch to achieve high standards of professionalism, ethics, and performance. And so all of you have had an opportunity now to see presentation of our CEJR plan. I understand, and I see in the audience, two members of the Access and Fairness Advisory Committee who are attending with the mentors and mentees. Please give us a wave, Justice Maria Rivera, incoming chair of Access and Fairness Advisory Committee, as well as presiding judge Diana Becton from Contra Costa, pilot mentoring program chair, Access and Fairness Advisory Committee. Thank you for being here, all of you.